attention to a few items in our bulletin this morning. Is it not on? It is now. I'd like to call your attention to a few items in the bulletin this morning. For more details, please just look in the bulletin. The Solos are trying something new this Wednesday. They will be having lunch at the Sweet Spot Cafe in Louisville, and that's a restaurant that's connected to the Cold Creek Golf Course Pro Shop. On Tuesday, the prayer and call to prayer and self-denial service will be held at 10 o'clock in Fraser Parlor for UMW Circle members, but all are welcome. Next Saturday is a spruce up at Mountain View, and the trustees would love to have a lot of help. And that will be from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Next week is Youth Sunday, and worship is at 8 o'clock and 10:30 only. And Launch with the Pastor will be next Sunday following the 10:30 a.m. worship. And this is for people who are new to Mountain View. And we'd welcome you all to be there. And now would you please rise and greet each other with the words, "May the peace of Christ be with you."
Good morning. Our congregational introit is new, and we're going to be doing that for the rest of Epiphany, so basically through February. We're going to sing Jesus, We Are Here two times through. There it is. We're going to sing that two times through.
Once a year, I get to stand up here with my blanket and entertain you, so this is my time. My name's Glenn Strand, in case you don't know who I am. And I'm on the Outreach Committee, and every year we have a Blanket Sunday to collect money for Church World Service. So let me tell you a little bit about Church World Service. You may be familiar with them. They were founded back in 1946, and their mission back then was primarily to help the people in war-torn Europe. And the mission they had was to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, heal the sick, comfort the aged, and shelter the homeless. So more than 70 years later, that's still their mission. They go about it in a totally different way now. They originally partnered with like 17 denominations when they were formed. They're now partnered with 37 or so different denominations around the world and some other organizations as well. So what do they do? Well, if you see a disaster happen somewhere in the world, the day after that disaster, or maybe the same day, Church World Service is going to be there. They'll be there with blankets like this, with food and water and other necessities too. They're really the first responders of the world. And they partner, one of the churches they partner with is United Methodist Church. So that's, if you want to know more about what they do, I would invite you to go to their website, which has all kinds of information. They've become very active in settling refugees around the world. So they've started doing that more recently, but they're taking the lead on that in a lot of the different countries in the world. And they've settled more than 500,000 refugees since they started that effort. Well, I won't go on anymore, but I would urge you to generously donate to this service that's provided by them. You can put a check to Mountain View and write Blank and Sunday on the memo line, and we'll make sure it gets to where it will do the most good. So thank you for your time.
Kids, come up. Any more kids want to join us? Okay. Okay, come have a seat with us. Hey, guys. Did you have a good week? Yeah, we did. Well, I have a book to share with you guys today. It's a book called Plant a Kiss, and Pastor Sarah actually shared this one with me. I don't know this book, but I think it's a really good book, and I hope you guys will like it. Should I read it to you guys? Okay, so it's called Plant a Kiss. Before we start, I want you to take your hand. And I want you to kiss it. And I want you to hold it in your hand and try not to let it go. Can you hold it the whole time? Keep it nice and tight in there. Don't let that kiss go anywhere, okay? So here we go. It goes like this. Little Miss planted a kiss. Do you see? Put it right in the ground. Planted a kiss. Planted a kiss. You ever planted a kiss before?
What do you think might happen?
Oh, she gave sunshine and water. She greeted it and repeat. So sunshine, water, greet, repeat. Wait and wait, getting late. Doubt, pout. Oh, she's not feeling very happy now, is she? Why is she not happy? Because nothing's happened yet. So she's feeling kind of frustrated. Sprout, shout. Oh, is she frustrated still? Nope, she's feeling pretty good now. Gather about. Wow. Stare and stare. Do I see what they're staring at? Can you see? I'll share, she declared. Don't you dare. It's far too rare. It'll go bare. So she says, I'm going to share this that I grew. And they say, don't do that. You'll waste it. She didn't care. From there, everywhere. Let's look at her bowl. Do you see? She's carrying all of that stuff around with her that she grew with her kiss. To and fro, high and low. See what she's doing with it? Rain or snow with a bow. Alas, time to go. So she returned, there she learned. From one little kiss, endless bliss. Look at that. So she put her kiss in the ground, and all this stuff grew out of there, and she put it in a bowl, and what did she do with it? She shared it. You still have your kiss in your hand? Are you still holding your kiss? Okay, hold on to your kiss there, but now I want you to turn your hand over and open it up. Did it let your kiss go? This is what I want you guys to do this week. I want you to think about that kiss you put in your hand. All week long, when you're at school, when you're at home and with your friends, if you're at gymnastics or soccer practice, everything you do, think about this kiss and do it with love, right? That's really what we need to do. Everything you do can be done with love. So just like this little girl in our story, your kiss can be shared with so many people in everything that you do. Can we do that this week, you think? Share your kiss with everyone? Okay. Can we say a prayer? Say, hey, God. Thank you for kisses. Thank you for hugs. Help us to be loving and kind and generous. In all that we do. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen.
Our spiritual activity, our spiritual practice is sharing, and we have a video for you.
Thank you.
68-year-old Maurice Anderson saw the homeless man struggling with his shoes. Without hesitating, Maurice took off his brand new $260 snow boots and gave them to the homeless man. As fate would have it, they wore the same size shoes. Maurice later told the Good News Network, "If you've got 20 pairs of shoes, you can only wear one at a time." His only regret? That he didn't have more socks to give. When Jessica posted about what she had seen happen on Facebook, people couldn't stop sharing her story. It was an inspiring act of kindness. We all have the power to be the good we want to see in the world.
There you go. We can share. We have plenty of things to share. Recently, we went through our closets and gave away an amazing amount of clothing that we just don't need anymore for a number of good reasons. But this is a place where we encourage gratitude and sharing. This is a place where we encourage awareness of others and awareness of God's love. Please share as you're able in your life for the good of others. You're invited to give for the work of Jesus Christ through the offering of this church. The dollars that we give are a symbol of the work that we do, and it's a symbol of the worship that we experience. Offering is a part of the worship experience. So as the ushers come forward, please share generously for Jesus Christ's efforts in the world.
God bless you.
these gifts and the givers, Lord, we thank you, as we do every week. But this week we do with a special sense of gratitude and gratefulness and awareness that spring flowers are just around the corner, that newness of life comes every season and every part of our days, and that your presence has the power that we seek to heal and make new, to refresh and strengthen us in our life of faith. Touch our hearts again and again, Lord, and make us grateful to you. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation found in the bulletin and on the screen. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Lynn. Will you pray with me? Holy God, may the words from my mouth, the words from the scripture, and the message that you have for each one of us, individual and as a community, be new and inspired, be informed by you. May we hear words that we might know so well afresh, and may they reside deeply, abiding within us, that we might use them in the world. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. When I was in first grade, we lived in Los Angeles, and this is only a small detail to say that it was like living on Mars. I was coming from Casper, Wyoming, which is a little bit smaller than Los Angeles. And California seemed so odd in so many ways. I mean, it was warm in February, and well, really, it was just hard on our family in general. And while my whole family navigated this foreign land, my mom seemed to be endowed and given an extra measure of grace. I recall shopping at the grocery store the night before Valentine's Day. And I still needed to gather and write all of my cards for the class party the next day. So supplies were on the list, along with other essentials like milk and bread and diapers for my baby brother. We finally made it to the checkout. My mom handed the card, and then it was given back to her. "I'm sorry, ma'am, this has been declined." "Can you try it again?" It was tried again. Same response, "I'm sorry, this won't work." So my mom started scrounging through her purse, trying to find any cash that she could find and put together, and eventually she pulled out enough bills for some diapers and Valentine's. Now, this memory doesn't come with a lot of images or specifics. I don't remember how stinky my brother smelled. I don't remember what my mom was wearing or what I had on either. But I remember that this moment imprinted its weight and feeling upon my heart. I recall saying something like, "Mom, what about the milk or the lunch stuff? Your Valentine's, Sarah, are most important," she replied. Love does this strange thing to us when we receive it. We feel held and buoyed and filled up with life. And when we give it, we can't help feeling the same, lifted up, renewed, and whole to ourselves again. This is because love is a noun, a form that holds and a power that is infused within us, while also being a verb, actively working, busy doing. Such qualities ring true, for they describe the essence of God, for God is love. God is the form and activity working in us, for us, through us, with us, and because of us. And why does any of this matter beyond the warm, fuzzy feelings and inspiring stories? Because as Pastor Steve last week said, quoting Jesus, "The scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus had taken the passage of Isaiah, showing how the captives would be set free, people would see again, and that the kingdom of God was here, now. This is the day of the Lord's favor. Today is when the good news will take place. And there is no waiting required, only living this truth, only living love. The response of Jesus' hometown believers was a bit of a mixture of confusion and, disgruntlement, to say the least. They wanted to throw him off a cliff because all of a sudden they had their world turned upside down. Jesus was saying,
It's now time to go and live what you've always hoped for. You don't have to wait for another interpretation. You don't need to wait for another Messiah. It has come to be today. And I think sometimes our grumblings these days match or mirror those of the old. We can be annoyed by the convicting message to get off our bums, or we can be dismissive because others will do it or we have done enough. We can be exhausted because there is so much to love. And that can lead to paralysis, questioning, where do we start? How do I make even the slightest difference all by myself? In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul offers encouragement and particular instructions to pull the people out of these traps, out of this spiraling thought of discouragement and just deflatedness. The church in Corinth is fighting among itself about how to love each other in the church, which is supposed to be easy, right? Everyone in church is nice, right? And he's also telling them, offering them ideas of how to love, i.e. translate the gospel into the larger community. Some folks have some ideas, other folks don't have any, but anything that has been suggested so far has endured judgment and criticism, comparison, and simply a mere lack of enthusiasm, unless it has been aligned just right with their own particular ideas or their clique's thoughts. So Paul issues a couple of thoughts to the people and about their spiritual gifts. In both chapter 12 and 14, he reminds everyone that each gift matters. Every person is crucial. A foot and an ear are both important, but they serve different functions. And in the middle is 1 Corinthians 13. Here he pauses and describes love. It's like the cream in the middle of an Oreo. It's the good stuff, right? Love is the form to hold things together in action that must be expressed to one another, including our brothers and sisters in the church. Love is, love does, love is embodied. When we consider love as a noun, we can see love as a form that holds things together in shape and as an empowered quality of relationships beyond a mere feeling. Love is like a mold. I think of those jello molds that you make little eggs or Easter bunnies with, right? Love is like a mold that shapes us. When we reside in love, our thoughts and actions take form in particular ways. Paul would say this formation is crucial for any speaking, whether in tongues or otherwise, for any praying, for any learning and teaching, and simply for living, especially when that living means action and activism. It must be formed. Love shapes these gifts. Likewise, love enables us to use spiritual gifts, infusing them by God's Spirit and power. Our talents become spiritual gifts by this imbued quality. Paul says you can talk elegantly, but without love, without the Spirit of God, it might sound like nails on a chalkboard. Love that holds things together works on an individual level and moves outward into our corporate life. Love is also more than just a feeling, but it's a bonding power that resides most essentially in relationships and thus communal life. New Testament professor Brian Peterson highlights Paul's endorsing words at the end of chapter 12. That say, a still more excellent way. As an example of love being that which sets us free of judgment and comparison, he says, most translations come close to the expression of the New Revised Standard Version, in which love is introduced as a still more excellent way. It certainly is that. However, such renderings do not really capture the point. New English Translation translate the phrase as beyond comparison, and that is better. More precisely, the Greek phrase indicates something like beyond measuring. And hearing that is important because measuring themselves, their abilities, and their status relative to one another seems to have become something of an obsession within the Corinthian church. Paul wants to move them past all of this to a way that is beyond measuring. Love is the shape of life that has been set free from the competition that is disrupting the Corinthian church. And I would suggest church as a whole. Love is the shape of life that has been set free from the competition that is disruptive. Likewise, love is not just about feeling good. It's not a substitute emotion, but instead a way of evaluating community, trust, relationships, authenticity, and honesty. Professor Peterson says again that Paul never says such love feels good. Because of our disordered assumptions about what love really is, we often act as though the mission of the church is to gather like-minded and likable people together. We think that in such a community, it will be easy for us to love, or more honestly, to feel the love. But true love is not measured by how good it makes us feel. In the context of 1 Corinthians, it would be better to say that the measure of love is its capacity for tension and disagreement without division. The measure of love is its capacity for tension and disagreement without division. Love is the shape that molds us, sets us free, and holds us together. Love also does. Just like love as a noun, which is seen in individual qualities and communal life, love enacted happens at an individual level and for the good of the whole community. I have seen love in action through giving and sharing. Just this week, about a dozen examples came to my attention about people giving in friendship, resources, and their self. People have been giving themselves in friendship when it's really hard, in the midst of sickness, grief, loneliness, and powerlessness. One of the young ladies in our Spirit Singers choir has been bearing the deep burden with a friend who has just lost her father to cancer. This is where you are, this is love enacted. This love and friendship includes a lot of driving, making meals, listening to stories, going on adventures that takes them out of their comfort zones, and might even mean being present, physically there without doing anything, because doing is no longer appropriate or necessary. I read a story about a third grade boy whose hair has fallen out due to symptoms of a rare autoimmune disease. His third grade classmates responded by shaving their heads as well, in friendship and solidarity. When asked by reporters, they said, "Well, we didn't want him to feel alone. That's what friends are for." These are acts done one person to another and are also held by the community as the community is enriched one person at a time. Giving of time and talents is a great way of giving love, and it is ever apparent in Mountain View. There are moments when I'm extra tired, when I seem to bemoan the lack of volunteers, and then I look out. I look out at this crowd, at this congregation, and I recognize that I'm absolutely wrong. So many of you give of yourselves, doing so much work, giving so much attention, offering careful investment. Love is also being shared at Mountain View and through this church by the investment of money. In the last several months, the church leaders have discussed the hard realities of the budget and how to live God's mission with faith and fiduciary. By communicating the needs and listening intently to each other, the church body has pledged over $411,000 for this next year. This includes 16 new or renewed pledges, 62 increased pledges, and 127 pledges in all. Now, I trust that the stewardship team has offered their thank you in November after the campaign. I know that Pastor Steve has been doing little dances around as he contemplates how these numbers express love. But I would be lying if I didn't want to talk to Susie Burley and get every one of those names so that I could give them a big squeeze and a thank you card. My gratitude bubbles up, knowing that 16 different family units believe that love is and will be embodied here through the myriad of programs, volunteers, staff, and opportunities still blooming. That 62 families recognize their gifts have already mattered and will continue to matter in such a way that they're multiplying that love to see how it can take deeper root and develop into vibrant ministry. Please hear me. That my deep appreciation is bubbling up, is overflowing, because I know that God's love in you is doing so much. 1 Corinthians 13 names 16 action verbs. They're not just adjectives about love. Love shows patience. Love acts with kindness. Love bears all things, believes, hopes, endures all things. And if we were to go back to that idea that it's not just about feeling, bearing, enduring, those don't always bring about a smile, right? Believing, hoping, those give us maybe an extra bounce in our step. But love is holding all of that. What we do and how we give love matters. And also what we withhold matters. Love calls us to act without envy or resentment or arrogance. Love is, love does, and love is embodied in Jesus and us. Jesus is incredible and mysterious all at the same time, because his incarnation lets him be fully human to embody love in ways that we can see and touch and feel and know tangibly and fully divine, which allows him to endow us with love, God's very essence. The choir's anthem preached the gospel itself. Thank you very much. So I want to just highlight a few phrases from what they sang that resonate with Apostle Paul's words to the Corinthians and the meaning found in love. God fashioned love and gave it as a gift for each to share and give away. God shared love and imbued us with love to continue giving it away. Neuroscience research shows that our brain chemistry actually changes when we care for one another. Three neurotransmitters and endorphins start bubbling and connecting when we give, so much so that it makes us want to give and care more. As wheat from chaff, to make an increase of the best. Love brings about the best things, wants to multiply and remove inhibiting layers of distraction and disruption, so that love can be known and shared. God fashioned love and gave from heaven's store that through all generations love might pour. Love is abundant, eternal, and foundational. It's the core essence of all things, and so it's not going away. It's never going out of style, and there will always be a need for love throughout the generations. As Christ is born in every child God gives. Jesus Christ is love moving with us on earth and in our essence as God's beloved children. This still more excellent way, the form, the action, the embodiment of love, will likely surprise us when we receive it, as it did me as I carried my Valentine's cards to the car. Love will also alter situations and relationships when given. Jesus understood this more and more throughout his life, so when he finally came to that last meal with his friends, he believed the act of giving his very self would empower all people to live into this more excellent way. We are coming to our time of communion, the very act and essence of love through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so as we come preparing ourselves, I invite you to prepare and reflect about what inhibits you from fully receiving this love and what keeps you from fully giving this love. Let us turn to God as we pray in stillness. God, we recognize that 43 seconds isn't enough to even begin to know the answers to these questions. And yet we ask that your mercy be upon us, that they might continue to percolate and reside deep within us, continue to speak to us in your love as we sing for your mercy.
Kyrie.
Brothers and sisters, Christ died for all of us, proving that God's love is for us now and always and for all people. In Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. We can say a great amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is good to give our thanks and praise, O God. It is good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you. Almighty Father, creator of heaven and earth, as you shaped all of your creation with your abundant and everlasting love, you promised to show us how as well. The prophets, the Holy Scripture, all of creation and your Son Jesus tells us this story and tells out this story. We give you thanks for entrusting us, Heavenly Father, as those who can embody this greatest of qualities, even as we follow you in hope and faith. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
Son Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, who came to show us the way of your love. He healed the sick and restored the hurting. He honored families. He served others just as they served alongside him. He called us to do the same. Holy are you and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who was betrayed by those who loved him, who was persecuted by those who feared him, who was crucified by those who thought that his death would be the end of him. And so on the night that he gave himself up, he took bread and he gave thanks to you, O God. He broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, this is my body broken for you. Every time you partake of this, remember me." Likewise, he took the cup of a new covenant, the cup of a covenant of love outpouring, and he offered thanks to you, God. He shared it with his friends and said, "Every time you drink of this, know that love is being poured into you that you might pour it out, and remember me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection.
Will you pray with me? Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, pouring out his love. Make this be an outpouring of your love once again and an encouragement of hope through the Holy Spirit, that we may live into the still more excellent way. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in the ministry to all the world. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The communion table is open to everyone in the United Methodist Church, so please come and know God's love. You're welcome to come through the center aisle. You may kneel at the kneelers if you'd like, and then head back on the side aisles. I'll invite those who are helping to come forward. And as you go back, if you would like some healing prayer, Carol Forbes, who is a deacon and chaplain, will be happy to provide that individual care for you. Come and know that God is good this day and always. Thank you, God, for this gift of love poured out for us, broken open, that it might nourish our souls. May we take it as an enriching gift and offer it back to you, back to our brothers and sisters in this world. Amen. Will you stand as we sing our closing song? Was a surprise gift of love. Thank you so much for a little enthusiasm in our final song. May it give you the enthusiasm to go with God this day, knowing that love is, love does, and love is embodied by us. We are God's hands and feet in the world, but we are infused with God's grace and peace for each of our days. May you use that for Him. Go in God's peace this day and always. Amen.